Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Halloween. Welcome to Ocean Touch Radio.
I'm your host, Bill Maupin.
We are alternative radio with a twist on subject matter that really does matter.
Visit us on our website at www.outoftouchradio.com. Our call-in number is 646-716-4228. Our guest today is the author of Making Your Wisdom Come Alive, Michael Glockman. We will be discussing his newly revised book, Making Your Wisdom Come Alive. We will travel through the mind to get a better understanding of how we can use the wisdom which is within ourselves. So get ready for one incredible show, which will surely be a classic. Welcome to Out of Touch Radio. Today is October the 25th of 2010. I want everyone to send their prayers out to our regular contributor, Gina Krizel. She's in the hospital, and I'm hoping for her to recover. I don't think it's too serious, so at least that's what I heard, that it's not too serious, but she will be back next week, hopefully. So, hope everyone had a wonderful start to their week, and we've got a really good show for you today with Michael Glockman. And before we bring on our guest, I've had so many requests for us to bring back that little scenario with the truck driver. Not going to be able to do it today, but I will absolutely make sure that we get it on next week. I was going to play it, but I just noticed that it has actually been... Oh, no, there it is. Okay, stand by. Here we go.
You got to listen to this.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at, if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa, man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them, turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Oh, hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's on his face and he's on his knee. She's getting out, she's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black purse. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. We got another woman that's she's hitting him like she's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one that it's a little woman that looks like Mother Goose. She's beating him. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She's they're still hitting them. The one with the little black person still. Oh, pieces of. Oh, okay, he's up on the little old woman just beating him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. The little bitty mother goose woman.
Gotta love that there. I tell you, he gave such a good description, play-by-play there. Incredible. Okay, well, our guest today, Michael Gluckman, who reveals the secret teachings passed down from antiquity. He shows how these teachings are genuine because they are reasonable and because you can experience them. Although they help us with stress, depression, and anxiety, Michael shows how life is more than just getting rid of problems. In fact, you will be astonished by how much peace and joy you can experience. In the same way that the sages of old discovered this indescribable freedom, you can discover it too. Indeed, you will find that the source of wisdom and happiness is the center of your experience. Making Your Wisdom Come Alive is his book. And let's welcome Michael Gluckman. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Bill. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for coming.
It's really,
so how have you been?
Oh, I've been great, you know, and I've been really enjoying my trip here into promoting my book.
It's
really
great.
Different than writing it to actually get out there and promote it, but I've been enjoying it, and I think there's some really valuable information here that I think people today can really use.
Absolutely. We sure can use a lot of things, especially in the United States of America. What inspired you to write this book? Now, before you answer that, I know it's revised, right?
Yes.
Now, did you put some new information in there? Or?
There's some new poetry and a bunch of new things in the back, and I revised some of the things the way I wrote them, corrected some mistakes. And revised the cover, and I put in just a few new things, a new foreword, and just a bunch of things. You know, I simplified some things, and it's just a lot nicer now. It's a lot better book.
Sure. Sure. What originally inspired you to write this book?
Well, you know, originally I was an agnostic, and an agnostic means that I don't know. If somebody could prove to me that there was God, you know, I'd say, okay, that would be fine, you know. And if they couldn't, well, it doesn't seem reasonable to me. But I was lucky enough through my teachers and through the things I read to stumble upon a very reasonable approach to discovering the nature of God. And the secret is, here, I'll tell you the secret right at the beginning. The secret is that God is within you. God isn't really out there. You find God by diving within. And when you look within, you know, you're in for a big surprise because within is a lot bigger than you might think. It's really vast. And yet, it feels like just being right at home.
Yes,
so,
it does. Yes, it does.
Now, as far as, you know, you might wonder, what are my qualifications? Because you didn't read a lot of qualifications for me, you know. You didn't read PhDs and all types of initials after my name. And, you know, I have probably less qualifications than anybody out there. The only thing I have is that, you know, besides loving to write, the only thing I have is I have 35 years of martial arts training. And I'm just the opposite of an introspective person, you know. I'm a jock, basically.
Sure.
So if I can actually find the most subtle thing in the universe, anybody can, you know. And that's the spirit that I wrote this book, that this is a book that points to what anybody can experience. And
sure.
The secret, I like to start out giving away the secret. You know, I like to spill the beans right at the beginning. The secret to this teaching is that the words are pointers. They point to what you are. So you don't want to get stuck on the words. You want to look to where they point. And there's a great little Buddhist saying that makes this clearer. If I point to the moon, and when you don't see it, I mention that, oh, yeah, you look out in the distance, and you see a tree. And where the tree, the branches of the tree split. Look between the branches, and you'll see the new moon. If you look at my finger, or if you look at the tree, you'll miss the moon. In the same way, if you just look at the words, you'll miss where they point. And the beauty of these words is a very direct way of pointing to what you are.
Sure, that's awesome. And, you know, you had mentioned just a moment ago about how we are God, and a lot of people might take that the wrong way, but if you honestly think about it, each and every human being and every living matter and everything that exists all comes from one. That's the way that's my theory. I came to the realization that's what it's about, is that we just all are a part of God.
Yes, in many religions, you know, they say that God is one, but unfortunately it becomes which one. But I think the meaning of one is a lot deeper than which one. But as far as, like, you know, at first you might say, if I come to you and say, I am God, you know, you think, wow, this guy's an egotist. He doesn't belong on the lecture circuit. He belongs in a mental institution. But let's change the way we look at this a little bit. When God created the world, right, where could he possibly have gotten everything from? You know, there was nothing else there, right? So he must have gotten everything right from him. And not only that, we know, we know that just from reading any text on God, you know, that he's all-present, all-knowing, and all-powerful, right? Omnipresent, omniscient, and all that.
Sure. Now, I don't mean to interrupt you here, but you mentioned something that, you know, I've caught myself saying, and that was him, which God, I don't really believe is a he or a she. God is an entity, an existence that can't be given a human characteristic.
Yeah, thank you for pointing out that to me. You know, I'm older. You know, when I went to school at the time when they tended to use the male pronoun. But when I wrote my book, I purposely avoided this because I wanted to show that it doesn't matter if you're male or female. You could still realize yourself. You could still find your own self nature. It's not restricted to men. And if I use it, it's an old habit. And I was glad to actually, in my book, to take that out, and this that he or she, it doesn't matter, can realize their own self-nature.
Yeah, duality.
So if God is everywhere, if I say, well, I'm separate from God, right, then I limit God, right? There's me and God, and I'm the limitation on God. If I say that, that's actually more of an egotist than to say, yes, I am God like everyone else.
Wow. Okay, let me ask you this, since we're talking about God. What is, in your words, what is spirituality?
Well, spirituality, in the very original sense, it means that anything, when you're trying to find anything that's unseen, that's not directly seen with the senses. And this really covers a wide variety of things. It could be subtle energies like ki or chi. It could be subtle experiences that could be like floating out of the body or seeing the body from above. Or it could be experiences that are so subtle that you literally, this doesn't fit into words. You know, it's nonlinear. You can't actually describe it in words. Now, in my case, I'm not talking about all spirituality. I'm talking about self-knowledge as a way to God.
Sure. Now, spirituality in the sense some people find spirituality in religion, but do you have to have religion to experience spirituality?
Most people, when they think of spirituality, they think of faith. Like, I have faith in God or I don't have faith in God. And that's really interesting. Then you have atheists, you know. So you have the people who have faith in God. They come up with these incredible stories that somehow after you die, your body's going to go up to heaven or whatever. They have all kinds of stories. And then you have atheists who say, well, no, those stories aren't true. Well, the good news is self-knowledge is completely outside all of that. It's a whole different path to God. It's not based on faith. It's based on knowledge. And that means that it's actually reasonable. And people are really surprised to think that, you know, oh, you can actually use reason to find God. And the reason is that reason is reasonable is because it turns out that God is your own self-nature. So if you can look within step by step, you'll unpeel the layers that seem to hide what you really are, and you'll get to see yourself. You'll expose yourself as you really are. You know, in the Bible, they talk about that, you know, they come into Jerusalem, and everybody, they take, all the children take off their clothes and they stamp on them. That's taking off their assumed limitations so they see themselves as they really are.
That's amazing. Now, you know, I actually was thinking here that in a sense of wisdom and knowledge, as we mature, we tend to become wiser and more knowledgeable. But, I mean, can't a younger person actually experience this without aging, the aging process eliminating that?
Yes, it turns out that luckily you are the self right now. So that means that there's no limitations on who could experience it. You don't have to be old. It took me a long time, but for most people, I hope for you it won't take as long, you know, to really see this thing fully. But it doesn't depend on your sex. It does anything, you know, the color of your skin, your religion. You don't have to change religions even for self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is just an exploration of what you are even now. And people are surprised when they find that, because people assume, well, I'm a writer, or I'm a doctor, or I'm a policeman, or I'm a martial artist, you know, or I'm a father to my children, or I'm a son to my father. People have lots of definitions of what they think they are. But when they really look, they don't feel like many different people, you know. They generally feel like one, and they don't feel like... And on this one, there seems to be all these different roles. But the roles are really not the thing that defines them. So the real secret is to go beyond your roles and to see yourself as you are even now.
Good thought. That's good stuff there.
Now, the next step, you know, in self-knowledge, it's really, really surprising. Because, remember, this is meant to be reasonable. And do you know that self-knowledge takes you beyond death itself? You know,
how's
this is
that?
Really, you know, remember, right now, this is the Halloween program, right?
Sure.
Right? This is your Halloween. Halloween's coming up.
Yes,
and
sir.
In Halloween, you have all the smiling skulls. You know, all the skulls with the big smiles and the pumpkins with the big smiles.
Sure.
Well, how could you have these laughing skulls? You know, what are they seeing that makes them laugh, even though obviously the body isn't there even now? And can you discover this in a reasonable way? You know, most people say, well, you know, I'll never know what happens after death until I actually die.
I don't know about that.
But that's... I just wanted to give you a sense of how deep self-knowledge really is. But let's look at it from a different angle. You know, in the same way I know I'm not a writer and I'm not a martial artist, right? I know I'm not you. I don't, you know, mix myself up with Bill, right? I don't say I'm Bill. If I do, you straighten me out, right? No, 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 you're Michael. You're not Bill. And the reason is you're the subject, right? I'm the subject, and you're something I see. You're just another object that I see. I'm talking about as a body. You know, ultimately, as you pointed out rightly, we are one.
Sure.
But as a body, you are just an object that I see. Now, let's go a little deeper with this, and now is where it really gets fun, and here's where self-knowledge is just totally amazing. In the same way that I see you, right, and I know I'm not you, I'm aware of my own body. And this is where people can be this is where things get very, very amazing. Am I my body, or am I the awareness that sees the body? Am I the witness of the body? Just like the witness of the accident. Am I the witness of the body?
Wow.
So if you can just look, remember I'm talking about this is reasonable. So you don't have to take this on faith. This is something you could try for yourself and see, are you really limited to a body? Or are you greater than that?
Right. Do you believe in out-of-body experiences?
Well, I do think it's possible to have out-of-the-body experiences, okay? But this is even deeper because even now, even when you're apparently in the body, you're not really limited to the body. So
Sure. As
a martial artist, right, a martial artist is not trying to get out of the body, right? In fact, a martial artist wants to be in there. A martial artist wants to be aware of its feet and hands and its ability to move. You know, you want to be right in the body, right present. So the way to discover this is not to try to get out of the body, right, but to see what your experience is right now while you're supposedly in the body.
What
you know,
then?
You can see how it gets fun. Well, you know, maybe a certain people may, due to some accidents, be able to actually get out of the body and have out-of-the-body experiences. But we could all examine and see what are actual experiences even now. And the funny thing is, our actual experience is a lot better than what it's cracked up to be. It's a lot greater than what we think. This is
Sure. The
amazing thing about self-knowledge. So even though I do believe it is possible to have out-of-the-body experiences, it's more fun to examine what it means to be in the body.
In the body, sure. Sure.
And
awareness.
Yes. Oh, exactly. But even before we get to awareness, if you wanted to know what I was talking about, just spend a little time and meditate. And okay, when you close your eyes, you know, the world's supposed to be there and the body's supposed to be there, but you don't see it. But just feel, and actually, as if you didn't know, you know, just feel like a newborn baby and see if you actually feel a body there. This could be amazing because I actually had the first experience of this in a martial arts. It wasn't a martial arts setting, but I was actually doing some of the stretches that we do before martial arts practice. And they were mm-hmm. wrist stretches. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be meditating now, right? I'm not supposed to be stretching my wrist. That's what I do before my training. And I thought, well, before I give up stretching my wrist, if I'm really greater than the body, even now, while I'm stretching my wrist, I should be greater than the body. So I felt, you know, right in the middle of my exercises without stopping or without attempting to do anything, am I really limited to a body? And I couldn't find my body. It was really amazing. But when I actually looked to see what I experienced as opposed to what I'm supposed to experience, I saw that I was much bigger than just the body.
Wow. Now, where does the mind come into play there? I mean, are you separating the mind from what?
Okay. Well, if you can see that I'm not really just limited to a body, right, that I'm greater than that, then, well, what about the mind? The mind's really closer to me. If I have a choice, an example of this might be, well, if I have a choice of, okay, you have a choice. You can either lose your mind, right, or cut off your arm. Which one would you take? And most people will say, well, cut off my arm. I'd rather have my mind. It's like the feeling is that my mind is closer to me than my body, right? So it seems obvious, you know, that, okay, so maybe we're the mind, you know, maybe that's exactly what we are. And so we can actually go on and take a look and see, and it's really, really, really cool to do that. Because just like, you know, the body is an object that I see, the thoughts in the mind are just objects that I see too. But there's something that's even more amazing than that, you know. And that is when you actually look to see what your mind is, it gets very, very interesting. Most people assume that, you know, here I am, you know, on my thoughts, you know, and if I think it, it must be true. So if I think, for instance, here's an example, I can't do math. Okay, I'm a writer, but I can't do math. That I can't is a thought that I'm aware of. It's not really me. And it's not necessarily true. For instance, if I think I'm a purple kangaroo,
you're limiting
right?
Yourself.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say you're limiting, you're already causing failure, you know, without really understanding when we
right.
say that we
now,
can't do things. So.
The real cool thing about this, right, a lot of people say now's the time to get into a fight. We're going to get into positive thinking, right? We're going to say, I can do it. And then they find they get into a big battle with their mind, right? It's I can't as opposed to I can. And they have this fight. But if they see that just because their mind thinks it, it doesn't mean that it's true, right? You don't have to fight with your mind at that point. You could just say, okay, let's see. You know, I'm not going to try to block the thought I can. I just know it's not reality. If I were to say, I'm a purple kangaroo, right? I would know that thought. I could repeat it again and again, make it into a mantra. I'm a purple kangaroo. I'm a purple kangaroo, you know, et cetera, et cetera. No matter how many times I would think it, it would not make me into a purple kangaroo. No matter how many times I would think that I'm limited to my thoughts, it wouldn't make me limited to my thoughts. My thoughts are just not my nature.
Sure. All right, well, Mike, we're going to take a break here. And when we get back, we're going to move into a couple ideas that you brought into your book. So,
okay, great.
We're going to take this short break.
Our guest today on Out of Touch Radio is Michael Gluckman, the author of Making Your Wisdom Come Alive. Visit his website at www.light-up-your-life.com. This book is like a key ring of knowledge in your quest to understanding what wisdom really is. This book is a masterful must-read of 2010 in finding what you are and beyond. Wisdom, the quintessential of life. Making Your Wisdom Come Alive is available now. Old man along the way.
dogs cry out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.
Our guest today on Out of Touch Radio is Michael Gluckman, the author of Making Your Wisdom Come Alive. Visit his website at www.light-up-your-life.com. This book is like a keyring of knowledge in your quest to understanding what wisdom really is. This book is a masterful must-read of 2010 in finding what you are and beyond. Wisdom, the quintessential of life. Making Your Wisdom Come Alive is available now.
Out of Touch Radio. Welcome back, Mike.
You know, there's one thing I should mention before we go on.
Sure.
You know the truck driver? The truck driver,
sure.
He was witnessing the accident and the reaction,
yes,
of these old ladies to this crazy driver and,
yes,
how much joy he had. He was laughing and he was just having a great time describing this event happening before his eyes. When you know,
yes,
that you aren't limited to the thoughts, when thoughts like I can't come up or thoughts that seem to bring limitation, you just laugh. It's just like the same way as a truck driver. You have fun because you notice, oh, yeah, this is a thought. It's not a description of who I am.
Sure.
So since you had the truck driver on your radio show, I thought, what a beautiful analogy for self-knowledge.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. You gave a quite descriptive blow-by-blow, too, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. You see everything. You know, it's not that you try to hide. No, I don't want to see the bad stuff, right? You see it.
Sure.
But at the same time,
yeah,
it's
sure he didn't expect to see the elderly women get out of their vehicle and just, you know, lambaste them like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you believe that we're approaching 2012, and it seems like the minds of individuals are opening up. There's more people now with more of a open-mindedness, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
Do you believe that the conscious minds are drawing together for this big event of 2012?
The way I see it is, at any time that you notice that suffering doesn't feel right, or whether you notice it as suffering based on politics or suffering based on the condition of your body or the condition of your mind, you know, a lot of things can affect your mind, like chemical imbalance. When you notice,
sure,
that suffering doesn't feel right, at any time you can examine, you can find out who you are and stand in your original state, which is the self. It's the one self that pervades the whole universe, and you can be free. Now, I really feel there's a desperate need for this knowledge these days. And, you know, as far as the predictions for 2012, you know, in December, in fact, do you know that the world's supposed to end on my father's birthday? December, I think, is 21st, 2012.
Yeah.
You know, I always enjoy that. You know, so at least I'll remember the day it's supposed to end. But there's a lot of different theories. You know, not everybody thinks it's going to physically end.
Sure.
You know, like that. But
and I'm one of those people that do not believe that, you know, anything is happening. I think we're just moving into a different time. And, you know, my best bet here is that more people are just going to be opening themselves up to understanding that free will is necessary as we move forward.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's, you know, what you say is really, really true. You know, a lot of people live under the illusion that they have free will. But there's a little problem here. If they look closely, they'll notice when a certain situation comes up, you know, look at relationships as a good example, they find that they always react in the same way, from like the same perspective every time. So it seems like, even though it appears that, oh, you know, I could become, you know, I have a choice. I could become a printing, you know, major or a lawyer, or, you know, I have a choice. In reality, you might feel as though your choices are much more limited, that things are driving your life that seem to happen, quote-unquote, unconsciously. But the amazing thing about being the witness, right, that you're not really stuck in any limited group of thoughts or frameworks, you know, or filters, you know. In the Bible,
sure,
they talk about, like, we see things through a filter darkly, but then face-to-face. When we become aware of the filters that we see things through, right, just by becoming aware we are free of them, right now we assume that the filters are true. But as soon as we say, oh, no, they're not true, they're just something we see, they're not really us. And filters could be like, wow, the world is a horrible place, or the world is, you know, for a martial artist, right, I always have to be on my toes. You know, anybody could come and get me from behind at any moment.
Right.
It comes a lot, in my case, right, just to give you an idea of where I'm coming from, I come from a Jewish background, and I was born right after World War II. And I got to see lots of videos, or at the time they were, you know, movies about the war. And the whole idea of don't let that happen to you again, you know, and the whole sense I got was that the world is a scary place and I have to really watch out. And that's one of the reasons I got into martial arts. But when I start to see, well, is the world a scary place? You know, there's a certain harmony that's just absolutely beautiful. Like there's trees, you know, there's things to see and there's eyes to see it. There's ears to hear and there's sounds to hear. There's music. There's joy. There's children. You know, just as much as there's scary stuff, there's really beautiful stuff. You know, and there's a really amazing sense of harmony. And so the sense that the world is a scary place is just an idea. It's not reality. It's not really true. Just that, you know, somehow the world is going to, you know, when I'm not looking, it's going to creep out and kick me in the butt and kill me or whatever. You know, it's not necessarily what's true. You know, it's part of oneness, right? The world's not like separate from the oneness. So in the same way, when I notice that, all of a sudden, instead of approaching the world with this concept of, oops, I have to watch out, which is a form of suffering, I could, right there where there was suffering, I could have freedom. And, of course, you know, having that sense, I have to watch out and keep myself isolated, it really affected my relationships, right? My relationships with other, my love relationships and everything else. I always had to be a little suspicious. But giving up that idea, all of a sudden I could get very, very close to my wife. It was a really beautiful, you know, feeling. It's really, this self-knowledge is really a practical thing as well as being, you know, an interesting idea. It really, really changes your life. And so when you become aware, like, of the biases that you see the world through, like, I see my mind a certain way like I can't, or I see the world a certain way, or I might see my body a certain way. When you become aware of those biases, at that time, the seeing is the freeing. It's not a two-step. You know, first I see the bad thoughts, then I bring in the good thoughts. No, the freedom happens on a level beyond your mind. You know, the only way you know you're free is when the same situation comes up and your response is completely different than you ever imagined it possible to be. then you know, oh, something happened, and I was, you know, and now I feel a lot freer. I feel I have a choice here instead of just stuck in a certain response. So free will, the more choices you have, because the less filters that you see things through, you know, the more free will you have, and the less you're bound by destiny.
Yeah, I believe that. And, you know, I came to the realization of that probably about 10 years ago when I removed the fear that I had of, you know, learning about what other religions had to offer. You know, I've told the story before where I grew up in the Church of God and, you know, very, you know, strict rules. And when I asked about other religions to my pastor, you know, I was told, you know, oh, you can't do that. That's not good. That will steer you towards the devil, you know. And that only made me wonder, well, wow, why, you know, we're the only ones that get to go to heaven. That's not the case, you know. As I grew older and, you know, looked into it, there's, you know, all religions channel to the same thing, and that's God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once again, it's not which one, right? It's really
that's right.
God is one.
That's right.
Yeah, that's definitely. Right. And, you know, in my book, in the second part of my book, I go into various writings or various descriptions from various religions, and I show how they point to this internal truth of self-knowledge. And when I get to Christianity, you know, I actually go into the Bible a little bit. And when I do, you know, I go into things that really, you know, the extreme of what you're saying, like I am the way, the truth, the light. And everybody takes it, well, Jesus was a body and he's the only thing, he's the way. You know,
right.
But if you change the definition of I to consciousness, to this universal consciousness that's a sphere of limitation but not bound by it, like space is
right.
not bound by a room or a pot, if you change the definition of I, you could even read the same old scriptures, and it's like you're reading a completely different book.
Right, and normally that's what happens. They're interpreted in different ways that's why there's always conflict.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the people can't read into it themselves. It's the person that is giving the sermon. Usually it's their point of view and you're accepting it, and that becomes your thought process as well.
Yes, apparently. But as a thought process, you could become aware that, oh, this is just a limitation. It's not reality.
Sure.
And when you become aware of that, just as in your case, Bill, you know, just as in your case, then all of a sudden you become open to finding wisdom anywhere it might exist.
That's right. It's just like you said, removing those filters.
Yes. And then the interesting thing, you could come back to, as I said, to the same old scriptures, you know, that, you know, kind of after a while they seem kind of boring almost, you know. But with a few changes, like, you know, you start reading, instead of reading, you know, like that I is somebody who lived 2,000 years ago, right? You read that I is being your own nature. And you read that the kingdom of heaven is within you. And you read, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, you know. Well, how can knowledge set you free, right? You kind of look at that. If anybody's curious, they say, well, in the Bible it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, generally, you know, you have to do more than know to get something accomplished, right? If you want to build a house, you can't just know about building a house and have it built, right? You have to get the skill necessary. You have to get the materials. And you have to put it all together, right? That's a whole bunch of different things. But
sure.
Maybe the reason they say knowledge sets you free is because you're already free. It's like, you know, I'm driving, you know, in New York, I'm driving towards, let's say, since I live around San Francisco, I'll say I'm driving towards San Francisco, but I get lost. So I'd stop at a gas station and I ask the guy, I say, can you tell me the way to San Francisco? And the guy says, what? You already are in San Francisco. In the same way, that's what self-knowledge is. You know, it's basically finding out what you are already. It's like it's a lot different than it's cracked up to be. It's a lot better than it's cracked up to be.
Sure. In your book, you talk about finding peace when you're in pain. And, you know, throughout life, we, you know, we lose loved ones. Right now we're experiencing, well, she's not gone yet, but we have a 14-year-old Chihuahua that hasn't eaten for the past week. We've been just trying to make her as comfortable as possible without having to actually, you know, take her and have her put down, which, you know, we're probably going to have to. But that's painful because, you know, some of my kids weren't even around when, you know, when we got her. And they, you know, the dog grew up with the children. And, you know, this dog is pretty much like a family member. She is a family member. And there's going to be a lot of pain there. And, you know, we're all experiencing pain because we know that she's about to go. How do we find peace in that?
If a lot of there's several answers to this, but if you know you're looking for the right state of mind when you're in emotional pain, a lot of things can affect your state of mind. For instance, if my wife passed away, you know, I would cry. I don't limit my thoughts. And the cool thing about self-knowledge is you don't have to limit your thoughts. But I notice that my identity, I'm not a thought. I'm the awareness that sees thoughts. That's unchanging. You know, if you really want an answer to death, and that's where the pain comes in, you know, wow, the same thing is going to happen to me that's happening to this Chihuahua. You know, is there an answer? You know, people say, well, everything in the world changes. You know, everything changes. And they're almost right because everything they see changes. But the one thing that people don't notice is where they stand or how they see the change. There is a still point, and because of that still point, you see change. And the reason people don't notice that is because you can't see yourself. You see from yourself. It's just like you don't see your eyes. You see from your eyes. You don't see awareness. You see from that. So that's why you see all the change. But you yourself, your own nature, is changeless. And the way you know your own nature is because that's what you are. You know it by standing there. It's self-luminous. It's like the sun. You don't need a flashlight to see the sun. You know the sun, the light of the sun, because the sun is light. In the same way, you know the still, changeless awareness because that's what you are. And that awareness is a source of peace. It's a source of peace. When a dog's body apparently goes away, that peace does not disappear. That's the thing that remains. And when you find that within, yes, you'll still be sad when your pet, you know, dies. You know, it's human, part of being human is having compassion, you know, compassion for all living beings. But at the same time, you'll abide in that peace that doesn't change for the dog, and it will not change for you either.
Right, and you just take those memories on with you throughout the rest of your life.
You can take the memories, but be careful there. Because a lot of people, see, a lot of times, let's say you have a psychologist on. You know, a psychologist might spout the same words that I'm telling you right now. But if the psychologist stands as the mind, then the psychologist is going to tell you to do something to your mind. You know, they might say, well, okay, there are certain Freudian concepts that are involved here, so you want to do this and this and this to your mind. Well, I'm saying that the nature of your mind is a change. You know, your mind works like a wave. You have the ups and downs of your mind. Anything can affect your mind. A small chemical change, right, can make a huge change in your mind. So, but what I'm saying is abide. Use it as a reminder that you're not limited to your thoughts, that you can abide in a state of peace. You know, it's the peace that passes all understanding. And it's your own self-nature. You can abide there. And, you know, if the thoughts of the dog and your love of the dog come by, that's fine. I'm not saying you should avoid that. But don't depend on that. Because whenever you depend on a thought, you're depending on limitation. And you don't want to do that. You're freer than that. And that's what I'm saying.
I really like the way that you put the guises. This is just the way I am. This is just the way my mind works. This is just the way the world is. This is just the way life is. That's beautiful.
Yes, yes. And the thing, you know, to get out of that, what they are, they're little signs that, oh, I'm in, right now, my thoughts are running along a limited track. Okay, sometimes it's hard to tell, like you're so used to thinking a certain way, right, that it just seems normal. It just seems like, oh, this is just the way things are. This is just life, you know, or this is just the way my mind works. But when you hear that, if you can see, you know, use that as a signal that, oh, yeah, there's a limitation here, that I'm actually freer than my thinking might indicate at this point. And there, like a lot of people, they think, well, I have to change my thoughts, okay?
Yep.
Well, your thoughts have no power of their own. But what they, when you kind of form them into a concept, and the concept could be like, oh, yeah, this is the way the world is, or this is the way I am, you know, that's life, you know. Oh, yeah, suffering is just part of life. That's just normal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to see that, you become aware that, oh, yeah, this is just a series of thoughts that come through and I take them to be reality. It's not reality. It's just thinking. It's just a certain way of thinking. Standing as awareness, I am free of that. And it, when I start to notice those thoughts, like I noticed that I always had problems in relationships and my fears in relationships came because I was afraid of the world. As soon as I became aware of that, you know, I noticed two things. I noticed I became free. I was free of that. I could get very, very close to my wife. And, you know, our relationship changed a whole lot. But, you know, besides that, the next thing, you know, that happened was that I didn't have to replace the bad thoughts with better thoughts. I just had to see the thoughts that limited me, and that was good enough. Life changed in a way that I did not expect. And this is the cool thing about self-knowledge, you know. Things really start to happen. Your life changes, but I can't tell you how it's going to change because it happens in a way that comes from beyond the mind. It changes in ways that you will not expect, and that's the joy of it.
You also talked about before self-knowledge, self-judgment, because we really do sometimes beat ourselves down by judging ourselves, don't we, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, you know. For instance, you know, in my case, you know, and when I was a student, you know, one little thing that came up for me is I can't do math, you know. And, you know, then after that, I would judge myself. God, am I really that bad? You know, am I really that bad of a student? And the whole thing goes on and on. Or relationships, you know, because of my concepts, you know. Quite frankly, you know, in relationships, I've hurt people before. And when I started to look at the things that, you know, what I was believing to be true that wasn't, you know, it was a little painful. But the thing is, it's a lot better, it's a lot less pain to see what you're living by, see the limitations you live by, than to continue to blindly live by them, you know. And in the end,
sure,
you end up with the joy of finding freedom. So,
sure.
Especially in the path of self-knowledge, you want to leave off judgment. And the way you do that is you notice what I see I am not. So I want to see everything. You know, I want to see all the little limitations that I took to be true. And there's a joy to that, you know, because the more I see, the more freedom I gain, the less I'm limited to destiny, and the more I have free will. When a situation comes up, I'm free to act in many, many different ways.
Amazing. Well, Mike, I got to tell you, this has been a really incredible show. You've really shed a lot of light on how we can make our wisdom come alive, and I think that this is really going to be a classic show. So I hope to have you back again soon.
Okay.
You'll come back, right?
I hope we have lots more things to talk about. I'm hoping that more and more people will get in touch with this freedom that actually comes from what they are and not from a state of mind. I hope
that's
that more
right.
And more people are going to find the joy that comes from their own self-nature, and they'll have lots more to talk about in the future.
That's right. And you can pick up his book, Making Your Wisdom Come Alive, on Amazon.com. Make sure that you visit his website, which is www. You go ahead.
Mike? Dot light hyphen up hyphen your hyphen life, life.com. And the thing about that, if you leave out the hyphens, you get General Electric. So if you forget the hyphens, you'll know you'll get a different type of light.
Yeah,
sort of the light of wisdom.
That's right. All right. Well, you take it easy, and thanks again for joining us on Out of Touch Radio.
Thank you very much, Bill. I really enjoyed your show.
Thank you for having me on.
There
you go.
Go fuck.
Put Gina Cavell in your prayer.
Well,
next time, peace.